everybody. You're tuned into the AfterBuzz TV after show for Orphan Black Season 5, Episode 6, Manacled Slim Wrists. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome!
Yeah!
Yay.
Nice.
We're going. We're going to do
destination
that.
For after show.
In case you guys didn't hear it already, you know.
It's AfterBuzz.
Yeah. You're like, why is it quiet? Why is there not a song? Maybe it's because we have a special guest on the line. We'll get into him in a second. I'm Kelly McInerney, your host. You could be sure to like AfterBuzz, subscribe to it, all that fun stuff. Hey, look at all my other co-hosts.
Hey, we're here. Hey, everybody. I'm Matt Marr. Happy to be here. You can find me at TheMartMarr on the Twitter and the Instas.
And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HollyWeird. I forgot to say that. Anyways, hey, we're here with a special guest. He's on the line. Are you in Canada? We'll find out. Josh Vokey,
yeah.
AKA.
It's Scott, everybody. It's Scott.
Woo!
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, everybody watching live, just in the live chat, ask us your questions for him. We'll get to them. All that cool stuff. Yeah. Thanks so much, Scott. Josh, not Scott.
Yeah. You know what?
That happens all the time.
I'm going to call you that. Are you in Canada, right now?
I am in Canada. I'm in Toronto.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Hey, Josh, since you're in Canada and we're in the U.S., there are no parameters, so you can actually just jump ahead and tell us what happens at the finale. There's no legal laws that say that you can't do that,
yeah, you
know.
Say it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not legally obligated by the network to do anything. Although we are a co-pro, so
right.
It's a brave new world. So Canada and the U.S. now make television shows together.
What? Oh, I didn't know this.
Like ours, and so I actually can get in trouble on both sides.
Or maybe you can just tell us half the truth. No, just kidding.
So what we do here, Josh, we just like talk about the episode, and then I'll ask you a few questions at the end. Hope that's cool.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
Yeah, and you could always jump in.
Jump in.
We'd love to hear your take like in the scenes or like when you were, you know, opposite, when you're doing your scenes opposite Bree.
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
This is a great episode for you.
Yeah.
Wait, are y'all done filming, by the way? You're wrapped, correct?
Yeah, we wrapped filming in March. We wrapped on, I think it was, March 20th or March 19th. And we wrapped at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh. Wow.
The last scenes were filmed, and we all came, even the actors that weren't working that day, we all showed up. And did the whole thing together, and then we all had champagne, and everybody gave presents and all kinds of nice stuff like that. And we all went home and slept an hour. Well, first we sang songs. Maria Doyle Kennedy led us in like a Irish sing-along.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then we went home and slept for an hour, and we all got on a plane together to LA to do a press tour.
Oh, wow. So then you got to at least sleep on the plane again then too.
Not really. No, we just drank wine and laughed and watched movies.
Who cried the most? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, was it Cosima? Oh. Was it Rachel? Was it Allison?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Tat didn't really cry very much because there was so much of that, I think, throughout. Like the last 2 weeks or so, she was saying goodbye to a major character every other day. So she cried then.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like little pockets of that. I think at the last moment, most of us just cried a little bit. On everybody's last day, everybody cried a lot.
Yeah.
So our last days were all different. I cried like a baby on my last day. I gave a very emotional speech. They gave us room for everyone to have a speech.
Oh, nice.
On the
That's
day
really nice.
That I finished, we were running behind a couple of hours, and so I thought that it was like they were just going to wrap me and I was going to leave, and like we had to get out of there because we were running against the clock. And when I finished my last shot, they told me that I was wrapped, and I thought that they were all just going to kind of go on, and the whole cast and crew kind of came into our set where we were shooting, and everybody gave a round of applause, and I had to give a speech and everything, and so I cried.
Sure, yeah, right, yeah, that's emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because it was a great show. It's a great show. It's still on for us. So yeah, it's still a great on show. For us.
We're not done yet. We're not crying.
Yeah, we're just over the halfway point.
We're just over
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode was a lot of fun. Let's just talk about that for a little bit.
Sure.
That's cool. We saw Crystal, who we haven't seen in a while, right?
Oh, isn't she the best?
Gosh, she's the best. Is she your favorite, Scott? Josh? Didn't again.
No, it's fine. You can call me Scott Josh. Everybody does. No, Cosima has always been my favorite.
Of course, yeah.
See, Kelly hates Cosima, so...
Kelly
does
like
hate Cosima.
Yeah.
She does. I enjoy her.
I'm partial
to... Yeah, she's so goddamn unlikable.
Helena.
She's just a terrible person.
Yeah, she's a terrible person.
She's fine, but, like, I prefer the Helenas and the Crystals.
Yeah.
The weirdos.
That's, yeah.
Yeah,
totally,
I like Helena. I like Helena,
understandable.
Yeah.
I actually walked into a bakery, like, a couple of hours ago and finally saw a babka cake.
Yeah.
And I was like... That's what a babka cake is. It was like this little roll or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's like what a Ukrainian babka cake is. Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. I actually did think it was like a meat cake for so long.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. I always think it's like baklava, but yeah. I don't know if it is. Anyway.
It's kind of, but different.
Well, okay.
More Eastern European.
Was it delicious?
It was nice. It's like a little chocolate pastry.
Mm, oh. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good.
Hey, it had chocolate in it. Yeah, that's delicious.
Yeah. So we meet up with Crystal, who has a YouTube channel called KB.
That was the best introduction ever.
One of the best openings of the show.
Yeah.
Not surprising at all for her to have a YouTube channel.
No, not at all.
Exposing the lies of big cosmetics. And then also showing looks, I guess, right?
Yes. Showing looks.
Yeah. And on the video, Brie loses her hair. Who I guess she's the co-host of the YouTube channel.
Yes. Which?
Because they're KB, right? The channel's like KB. So yeah.
KB. Yeah.
K for Crystal, B for Brie. And
we've been talking about Crystal at least on this show. Since first episode, we're like, where is she?
Let's go. Yeah.
And so I just. It was I've been waiting for this. And so it was everything I wanted and more. And they still, again, the show, they still totally surprised me how they reintroduce these clones.
Yeah.
And always, like, make me just love them.
It's so funny. Did you miss Crystal, Rick?
Did I miss Crystal? I don't know if I missed her, but this episode was an awesome way to showcase who she is.
Yeah,
the whole episode from the get go to as we'll discuss like her journey through this episode.
Right.
So that was yeah. So I mean, did I miss her? No, but did I enjoy this episode? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny because she always has like almost the right idea, but it's way off. It's a little bit off. Like she's like, oh, Bree's been poisoned because of the hair.
Because of the hair. She's like just close.
Yeah. Almost like you're right. Yeah. Something bad did happen to her. Not poison.
Just wasn't a nuclear bomb in her tea.
Yeah, exactly.
But she still has, and then I think what's cool is that she still has this desire to like. She honestly kind of reminds me of me some way, and like sometimes if I was in that position, I would have this desire to do well, but also would get distracted by hot man and penis.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what Crystal does. You know what I mean?
It's very like, relatable.
I relate to her very much.
I was singing the other part where it's like you just blurt out everything and it's like, no, you're not supposed to say that.
No, I do that too, yes.
I'm just kidding.
But her friend Brie, she seemed to have an interest for your character Scott, right? Right, Josh?
Yes, she did. She was, she's the first love interest that I've had in the show. And, yeah, that was something that people have been talking about for a long time, and they wanted to do it. It was just a matter of where we could fit it into the series. And
yeah, right.
So it was cool that they were finally able to do it.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It was a lot of fun to do. It was cool to get back to the comedy of the character, because Scott started as a very funny,
awkward
character, and then he evolved into something different. And so the comedy wasn't there as much because he just became something different. So it was cool to find a way to bring it back around at the comedy to really play off the character's awkward kind of intonations.
Yeah.
And I was happy to jump back into that.
That's awesome.
I think one of my favorite things you did is, I think the line is something like, give her a hand and then it just shows you blowing up a glove and it kind of just deflates.
I like the ghost line, like how he's like, oh, you just get used to it. Ghosting.
Yeah.
It's good because, yeah, we haven't seen much of just Scott being like his own character. He always has good advice and like helping Cosima out for things. But you never really see much of his personality, and then at least in a while.
Right.
So
yeah, no, it's well, I started in the show doing a lot of the physical comedy stuff, and that's kind of I think what that's how I got the job. That's how I got into this. Is mm-hmm. that I was good at doing all the comedy stuff, but really, like my roots in acting come from the more dramatic things.
Yeah, oh, you're wow. super. Okay. I googled you. I looked you up. You're a super theater guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a pretty theater guy. And so I got into this because I really love doing comedy, and I love film. I actually like film more than theater, I think, as a medium.
Mm.
You know, I grew up on an island in Canada called Newfoundland. Mm.
Oh, like the dogs.
It's where they the big musical on Broadway, Come From Away, that won all the Tonys and was a big deal about 9/11. I'm from that town.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's where I'm from, and so most of my exposure to the rest of the world when I was a kid was through film and television. So that was always my favorite medium. But where I was from, there was no chance to do any kind of film and television. So I got on stage because that was the closest I could get, and then I got really trained in that. And then everybody thought that I was a real film, a real theater guy, and I was like, no, I'm just doing this so that I can get to the film. This is the only acting that I can do, and so. When I finally got a crack at Orphan Black and getting in there, I got a chance to do all the physical comedy stuff that I always wanted to do.
Yeah, and you'd be a part of like a great series.
And then it became something where it's like, whoa, that's cool, but you know, the character's kind of changing, and now it's all this other very deep, serious friendship stuff. And so I dove back into that. But this episode was a chance for us to kind of, in the midst of our very, very serious final season, to kind of take off the gloves and go back to the comedy. And it was a lot of fun to do.
That's awesome.
Which I think they're kind of doing that as a show. Like I've mentioned before, like Felix is painting nude again. Like you know, they're kind of, I think, reminding us who these characters were in a smart way to remind us where they kind of their process was. Was Scott initially as big a character? Was he always written to do kind of what you had planned, or was it one of those things where they had you come in and they really liked you, and obviously your chemistry with Cosima was great, and then they wrote you more into the show?
Yeah, that's a great question, and the answer is that no. I was supposed to work on this show for one day 5 years ago.
Wow. That's so inspiring.
That's man, that's awesome. Congrats.
And did you like thank improv you very much, or like why did they want to keep
yeah,
you?
Did you sleep with someone? Give us some dirt.
Jeez.
Excuse me, Matt. I came in and my breakdown for the character said that the name was Scott. On the breakdown that I got is like, Scott also works in the lab, was the name of the character.
And also works in the lab.
And so I looked at the script, and I worked on the scene, and I worked with some other actors and coaches that I trusted. And we kind of figured out what we thought the core of the scene was. And it was that, oh, this guy is... he doesn't know how to deal with this woman. Like, he's very awkward around her. Like, you know, he's kind of attracted / intimidated by her. He doesn't know how he's supposed to behave. And that's kind of part of that. That's who the character is that he's just completely, you know, every human being's super insecurity kind of extended into this really, really weird, awkward caricature of a human being. And so I went in and I did that, and my audition for the show was 40 seconds long. I did it in one take.
Wow.
And they hired me. And then I went in and I did it, and I did the take, and everybody on the crew laughed, and I kept on doing it, and they kept on laughing. And I went home thinking, like, you know, it was my first chance doing something that big, like a show this big.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went home thinking that was it, and it was over. And then I got a call saying they wrote another scene that was even more awkward, which was the kissing scene between the two girls in the first season.
Ah.
And I went in and I did that, and they laughed even harder. And I met the writers at that time. One of our longstanding producers and writers, Alex Levine, who's been a huge part of the show, and he wrote that episode, and he introduced himself to me. And then they brought me in for the finale, actually, for the first season, to do another scene. And I was supposed to be the last scene of the season, and it got cut. I was in the trailer to shoot the last scene at 6 o'clock in the morning on our final day of shooting in the first season. And it got cut because they ran out of time. So I got sent home.
Oh,
and I thought that that was the end of my run on Orphan Black.
Yeah. But you got paid for showing up, right?
I did.
Yeah, great. Hey, that's all that matters, man. That's all right.
Yeah. And so I went home, and they called me at the beginning of the second season, and they called me in for one episode. So I said, okay, yeah, sure. So I went back in for one. And I went into the studio, and John Fawcett, who is our one of our showrunners, he and Graham Manson, mm-hmm. John was directing the first episode, and he found out that I was in the studio waiting to shoot, and he came out from the Video Village, where he was looking at all the stuff, and he came out and shook my hand and said it was great to meet me. And then he mentioned the idea. He's like, I'd like to bring you onto the show. And I think that you would be like a good piece to add in, and you could be really integral. And I have all these big ideas that I want to implement, and I just want to know if you want to join the show. And we shook hands, and I said yes. And that was it.
That's awesome.
So you go home, and what happens? You start crying. You start like, you get like champagne, and you're just like just doubling up and like spewing it out everywhere. You're like, yes.
He left, and he said, okay, great. I gotta go back and direct this shot because they were shooting a clone scene. And so he walked away, and I was just there by myself. There was no one around me. And the first thing I did was look behind myself and walk around in a circle. Like, did that actually happen? That wasn't a dream. I didn't misinterpret that.
Did you, like, pinch yourself?
And then I sat down on the floor in the middle of the studio.
That's awesome. Adorable.
Awesome.
That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the show is way better with you on. Like, it's way more fun. Uh-huh.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. I want to talk more about like your process and stuff, but let's get into the episode, and then we'll talk more about you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just so we don't lose track of time.
Don't kill us online.
Yeah. So Bree and you kind of connect, or at least she forces a connection with her butt.
Yes, with her butt.
Yeah.
that is clever.
Yeah. And Crystal just sneaks away to do her own thing because she knows that Sarah's going to try and take over.
Yeah.
And not let her do any of the action.
Yes. And she's, mm-hmm. And I love too that, I mean, Chris, that's what, again, I actually think that Crystal and Sarah are probably the most, almost, I would say this, like they're opposite, but also kind of the same. Yeah,
they're both alphas. They're both alphas.
They don't listen. It's hard for them to listen to other people. They do what they want. And so, like, I mean, granted, Crystal's, like, her main motivation, I think, at the end of the scene, or, you know, is that she's upset that someone didn't really like her vlog, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But, which is amazing. But, I think that's why they always kind of clash, actually.
Yeah. And also Helena, I think. Those three just do their own things, I feel like. So she's like, no, I'm not gonna let this happen. She goes, meets this guy who ghosted her, right?
Yes.
And gets a little bit distracted as Matt, you
as
said
I
you
would too.
Would.
I mean, that guy was hot. He was cute.
Yeah. But she does
Do you know who that guy is?
No.
No.
Who is he?
That's Tom Cullen. That's her partner.
Oh!
That's
funny.
Yeah.
I am so much more jealous of her now.
Yeah, that's the whole other level of the whole thing, is that was our chance to get Tom into the show.
Oh, that's amazing. Perfect.
I'm so glad you're here right now
to
tell us
that. Yeah, thank you, or else we'd look like real dumb.
I thought they had great chemistry.
The internet would let you know real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what are the hands that could go where they were going?
That was Tom.
That was fun.
Yeah, and he's always been around the set for the years that we've been shooting. He's a brilliant actor in his own right.
They made a movie together too, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. They just made one called The Other Half recently that was directed here in Canada, in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
And made with a bunch of our friends. Tat's close friend growing up, Joey Klein, who's also an actor, wrote, and I think he wrote it, but I know that he directed. I think he wrote and directed it. Awesome. He did direct it. I think he also wrote it.
That's cool.
And her and Tom starred in it.
Nice. Also starred in this little scene.
Yeah.
Great.
They were great.
So yeah. Great. He would not ghost her in real life.
No, he didn't. No. In fact, right.
But while that's going on, you find out, or Scott finds out, that the makeup that Bree stole, because she's got a...
Klepto. She's a klepto, yeah. Klepto. She's got a stealing problem.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, that's the same thing with me and Target, you know?
Yeah, hey.
And now it's documented, so...
yeah, live your truth.
And there's something in the face cream. What is it?
It's a derma...
It's
called...
I missed that. I was
actually
going to
sound like all
y'all.
Geeky now. It's called LIN28A, so it's a gene.
So wait, LIN28 was in the face cream?
Yes.
I didn't know it was in the face cream, too. Okay, I missed that.
So the delivery system for LIN28A is they bought a cosmetics company to test it on the unsuspecting public to see who was receptive to it.
Wow.
It's real Frankenstein stuff.
Yeah, that's disgusting, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that reminds me of the old Batman. Which...
So good news, Bree is not a good receptive.
So Bree, yeah, she's
so
not
she's
the right
safe.
One.
Yeah,
she's like a rabbit.
Yeah, so that's pretty creepy. Also, not surprising in a way. Like this is how cool Orphan Black is. I feel like this is kind of a believable thing. Like, of course, big cosmetics. Like as Crystal would say, like there are like lies and everything.
That's yeah, no, and she said, I mean, what it was like, I. Josh, was it you that said, like, or I don't know, I can't remember who said it, but it was like an allergic reaction, which in real life does happen in general, too.
No, I worked in cosmetics. Yeah. I would see women come, I worked at Sephora, and I would see women come, and I'd be like, what the hell happened to your face?
Oh, God.
And like a cream that worked well on me just literally made them look like a rat had clawed them. It was crazy.
Oh, it's scary. Scary stuff.
Scary stuff.
So we find out that is what happened with Bree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing that Dyad's trying to do because they bought Tom Collins' makeup line.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah. And that's where we kind of end with Chris.
With her kicking him in the balls and he literally crawls out. Which,
yeah, amazing.
It was like old school slapstick. I loved it so much.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody always laughs when someone gets kicked in the balls. I mean, especially when you know that they deserve it.
Yeah. And I love how she's threatening him with the face stuff. Just
not my beard. Yeah, he's like, not my beard. I thought she was going for I was going to go for his head, and make him bald, but instead, so he's like, no, not my beard.
Yeah.
And the dialogue was so like when he's trying to talk to her, and she was like, you are making me wet, and I'm so mad at you. I literally did a spit take on that one because again, you don't expect that from the show. So,
but that's how Crystal talks.
That is Crystal.
She's so great. And while that's going on. They're trying to avoid Kira going back to Dyad because they find out that they're trying to harvest her eggs.
Yeah, Delphine gives them the tea.
Mm-hmm. And she gets sick. She has the flu.
Hey, Josh, do you know how old Kira's supposed to be on the show?
They said like a
little. Oh, my God. I think in the timeline, I think she was 8 or 9 when we started the show in terms of the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now she's supposed to be... I think 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe? I think they said, I think Kasima said that either this episode or last episode, you're trying to heart, she's an 11 years old or something, like her egg.
Oh, yeah, it was something like that.
She did say
but
that.
But the truth is that the real freaky science, and it's kind of where we're going in the world, is that we kind of deal with things in this way that's ethical. Like, well, they're not an adult, and there's all this stuff about what makes a human being a child or an adult, but really... The truth is that your anatomy, in terms of what it is very set from a young age. So the truth is that, yeah, they can. If they wanted to do that in real life and harvest the eggs from an 11-year-old girl, scientifically, it's possible and plausible.
Oh, wow.
Ugh.
It's just a matter of, like, the legal.
Right.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah, super is. Really.
Wow.
Man. Uncomfortable. So... they're trying to avoid her going back to Dyad. Yes.
And Kira's a hustler now.
Yeah.
I love it. I love hustler Kira. She's playing the game.
She knows. She's got the code names and everything.
They even give her medicine to make her throw up.
Yeah. She's all about it.
She's got the grift down.
Yeah.
Like that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Like mama, like daughter. But PT doesn't want that. He knows. I guess he doesn't. Do you think he knows something's up? Or do you think she's sick and... He just still wants her.
I think that the thing about that character, P.T. Westmoreland, is that what he says and what he actually means and what he does are all completely different things.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's, you know, he's essentially, the allegory is that he's the Wizard of Oz. Right. You know, he's the man behind the curtain, controlling it all. And what he really thinks and what he does and what he says are completely different things. So as a source, as I think, as we've seen so far in this season, he's completely two-faced.
Yeah.
Everything he says and does are completely different. All he ever does is play people against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, like with like Susan and Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other layer to that is that the people that he's playing against each other are always women.
Yeah.
So
he's
playing women against women and kind of presiding over the top. You know.
Sneaky. I don't like him. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's. We find out also that he's trying to do parabiosis, which is moving young blood.
Yeah, it's blood cleaning.
Yeah,
so yeah, he's Lance Armstrong plus a vampire.
Yeah. He's Vampire Armstrong.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was either last episode, but I was saying when they started talking about the timeline of how he wasn't really 170 years old, I was explaining to these guys that he almost reminds me of the Dread Pirate Roberts, where it's just like, it's you know, clearly, like, yeah, he's not P.T. Westmoreland, but he took on that role.
Yes.
Like the Dread Pirate Roberts is like, well, I wasn't really the Dread Pirate Roberts, and the guy before me wasn't Dread Pirate Roberts. So
it's like Jason. Just like the killer Jason. Or Doctor Who. I don't know how Doctor Who works.
Doctor Who, he regenerates.
Okay, but Jason, how he's all... Well, I'm just thinking behind the scenes. Never mind.
No female Doctor. That's a big deal now.
But yeah, but essentially...
No, it's the whole Batman allegory. That the mask is bigger than the man or woman.
Right.
It's the symbol.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, man. Well, so eventually, though, with Kira, Rachel comes in and grabs her. And that's where we kind of leave them.
But I love, though, again, like, it's different that Mrs. S, you could tell, was ready to, like, kick some ass. She wasn't going to let it happen. And Kira was just like, no, I'll go. And then as she leaves, she says that line, I'll keep writing my story. And then it all made sense. Because we've been seeing these scenes with Sarah and Kira where she's like, I'm going to have code names for people. And I'm going to call Dyad Wonderland and all these kind of, like, and I've been like, okay, I guess, but I didn't. And then now, I think we saw a little bit, like, that's the code. She's actually code. I didn't get it. I thought it was just like their play code.
Yeah,
I missed that. That's good.
That's
good.
Because they showed in next week. Yeah, she was saying she's going to be reading the story to her mother, and that's how she's going to relay information.
I love this. So Renji 90998 says # Count Armstrong.
Huh. Count Armstrong. Oh, that's one of the comments. Yeah, Count Armstrong.
That's PT. That's a good idea, because she's basically going to be a spy.
She's basically going to spy.
But what stinks is she's still going to be there. They're going to be shooting her up or taking her blood.
Yeah,
and taking some of her eggs, which I believe is painful.
Yeah.
So,
maybe not. Like, I feel like Dyad has some special medicine stuff.
They'll just, like...
To make her not feel anything.
Abracadabra, bam. Yeah. Here's your eggs.
Yeah. And then back on the island with Cosima... She's locked in that cage.
This is her show. I mean, really, this was a lot of Cosima.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a lot of Crystal and Cosima.
Yeah.
Heavy Casey. Or whatever. And she's a good talker. Like, she's just smart in general. Like, with science and also with talking to people. Like, how she spoke to Mud. Just being like, I need to tell my family. Please get me out of here. Because we left her last episode locked in a cage.
Yeah, and like Mud's wearing this bell now, literally like an animal.
Yeah.
You know, that she's punishing herself. It was...
Why is she wearing the bell? Because...
She's... Mud is punishing herself because of... Because Yanni, the...
Giannis
died. Oh, right? Right, Josh? That's why.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then she was blaming herself for the death of another, like she said, like these two characters died because of me.
Salvador, was one of them.
Oh, yeah, for Salvador.
Yeah, they had
I don't know, maybe like her version of like the Scarlet A.
I don't know. She's either Jewish or Southern because she knows how to guilt herself. Yeah. That's for sure.
is that what happens in the South?
Yes. Interesting. Yeah, Southern guilt's a real thing.
I didn't know that.
Don't go.
I guess she feels just so bad anyway because we find a lot about her backstory. She was like a junkie. And a vegetable.
She calls herself a loser.
Yeah. Or she was, until Westmoreland met her, she was a she got herself to be a vegetable or something.
And he saved her life.
Yeah, the character's from Seattle, I believe.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, she was from Seattle. So. Which makes sense why, because she was so... She really was, she's the last one to kind of come around in this episode where this kind of is. And so, but again, that made sense.
And she's struggling coming
around. If
somebody
brought me back to life, I would be like, they're evil, but I'm alive. You know, that would be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And, eventually she comes around once she sees that picture. Because, you know, a photo's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, it's true.
Or at least it's alluded to. Like, we don't really hear her saying anything, but it's very alluded to that there's something where she's putting the dots together very quickly now. And, wait a minute, P.T. Westmoreland seems to not be P.T. Westmoreland.
Yeah. She gets Cosima out. Cosima almost gets trapped in that village because they're all angry.
I was nervous about that. Like, because she had the cure, and I was like, no, please, just like, can she just get off the freaking island? We've been waiting for this. Like,
yeah,
I thought it wasn't gonna
happen. They were gonna mess up her cure, like break it or something.
Yes, I'm glad that didn't happen.
That only happens like in like the movies and the TV. Oh, wait, this is a TV show.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep the what's her name? Caroline? Is that the young girl's name?
Charlotte is her younger sister.
Knew it was a C.
Younger sister. Yeah, because the other girl with cancer, I forget her name. I always called her cancer girl. She passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bunch of deaths on that island.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was cool how Cosima, kind of the way they played her against like. Cosima was kind of like, almost to me, like the action of, like, where she's trapped, she's trying to get her body out, you know, trying to get out. Yet we see the interplay between her trying to figure it all out and almost there, and then seeing a lot of expositional scenes between Susan and Westmoreland and then Cody, and kind of like, it very much this episode.
And a little bit of Ira.
Yeah, a little bit of Ira.
Speckled in.
Hot Ira. He's so hot. I don't want him to die.
I'll let him know he said so.
Oh, my God. I'll interview him. Tell him to be on the show. I'm not kidding at all.
You could call. You should get in contact with him. Ari does interviews. No problem.
You spent Matt's day.
Okay, we're going to talk after they're done recording. But also, too. It was that episode of kind of like in Scooby-Doo, or I'm going to date myself, in Murder, She Wrote, because I remember watching that with my mother, where the villain kind of is in like, this is you pesky kids, and this is what happened. Because there was a lot of that between Susan and Westmoreland. Well,
you kind of had to explain it to the audience.
I kind of appreciated
that way,
though, because we don't get a lot of that.
Well, and because the show's like winding down,
we
so you've
got
to get
bits and
fast,
pieces.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they vomited it out, and I enjoyed that. I don't know if some people liked it or not, but I liked it.
I liked it because it makes. I feel like sometimes the show is too smart for me.
It is. It's very.
It's the way it's packaged too. It's. It moves really fast. It doesn't really wait for anybody.
Right.
Yeah. But with this really heavy concepts that they have to get it out in some way. And so it's good to get it out in this way at the kind of the halfway point of the season, while at the same time giving you all the zany hijinks of, you know, everything else that we're doing in the episode. Because it's the fun episode.
Did you ever I know we're still going through that, since we're talking about science stuff, did y'all ever have somebody science like come in and explain this to you? Or is there a doctor obviously writing on the show? Because sometimes especially you and your role on the show, would you read your dialogue and be like, I don't know what the heck that means?
Yeah, we do. We have, there is the real Cosima. So Cosima is a real person.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, Dr. Cosima Herder.
Whoa!
H-E-R-T-E-R.
Wow.
Yeah. She is one of the close friends of Graham Manson, who's one of our two showrunners. And she's been the scientific consultant since the first season. So all the names of the episodes, like Manacled Slim Wrists, are all taken from different scientific works each season. So it's they're all taken from different books or scientific journals written by, you know, very prominent figures in the community.
Yeah,
and
Matt,
she is our scientific consultant. So all of the philosophy and the science of Orphan Black are all derived from conversations between Graham Manson and Cosima.
Wow.
And she's our resource all the time to talk about this stuff. She's become a good friend of mine over the last 5 years because the two of us have had a lot of, you know, heavy-handed conversations about the philosophy of it. And she actually went to the University of Mississauga, where the character Cosima went.
Oh, cool.
And so the character is based on her. All the hand gestures, everything is based on Cosima.
Does she look like her? Does she have, like, cornrows and stuff, or no?
I think she did. Maybe she did at a point, but she is very...
Dreadlocks, yeah.
Yeah, she has that very, you know, West Coast hippie energy about her.
Oh.
And she's an amazing human being.
No, that's
awesome.
That's pretty...
Yeah. But, I mean, I also... one of my in real life close friends, Nathan, his name is Dr. Nathan Schachter, is a he studies biology and has his just recently got his doctorate, but he is working in genetics in terms of finding a cure for breast cancer. He was my other resource.
So good the for two him. Of them. I applaud that man.
So you're all set. Yeah. You've got two great resources to be. So was it still confusing for you, the jargon and everything, or?
Yeah, it can get confusing, but I'm also a big big science guy, big history nerd, and so we would have conversations for hours about how it worked. And I would make sure that I knew everything that I had to know going in, how the machines worked, how I was taking samples, what it meant, what the kind of overarching themes of what we were working on each episode, how all that worked, and what we were discussing in terms of the moral implications. Right. I made sure I knew what I was doing before I walked in. Right. And I had those two resources to help me with it.
Wow. The actor prepares.
Yeah.
Prepares very, very well. Yeah, that's stuff I wouldn't even think about. I would just like, just tell me what it means. Okay, cool. I'm gonna spew it out. That's why I don't act. But
I just want to get back to you, Josh. But I just want to say what happens at the end.
Let's do it.
There's so much. There's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, it turns into like the whole like the like in those like yeah like those 1800s. Let's pillage the like Frankenstein or go kill Dracula or whatever it is.
Like, it is like Dracula, yeah.
The fire whole theme, pitchfork.
Yeah, it's a big monster theme. I feel like this whole season with like how you mentioned Frankenstein and everything, and this whole like angry mob. But at the end, Susan tries to. I don't know if she. Do you think she really tried to kill PT or just like? Put him to sleep.
No, I think I think Susan's trying to kill him.
Yeah? Okay.
He's been around for too long. His time is supposed to have been done, but...
Yeah, so she doesn't find... Cody, who comes back...
Virginia Cody, yes. Yeah, Dr. Cody.
Finds out that she's trying to kill her because...
From Mud.
Mud, yeah.
Mud, like... Well, because PT, right, he like looks at her and he's just like, take off that bell. You're such a comfort to me.
That's pretty good, dude.
And thank you. And then, you see her kind of look like go white and look at Susan and she walks out and then Cody shows up and so it's which I was bummed about. I kind of thought he was gonna die and then I thought it was gonna be honestly what I love about the show is it's so feminist. I thought it was gonna be like two like women doctors kind of like good and evil battling it out at the end and I kind of wanted it to be that
and
to
get Cody rid of this and
rid of the patriarchal guy, let's just kill him and not deal with that at all. Yeah. But that's not what happened,
man. Yeah, because Susan gets it. He doesn't give her a break at all. I think he just does. He give her the
he gives her the taste of literally of her own medicine.
Yeah.
And she dies.
Yeah, it turns into it's like an Agatha Christie book. It's just like they just keep dropping like flies. Is that like this season? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I said in the predictions, didn't I say last week someone's gonna die? I think I said.
I think you did.
Yeah,
but you know what? I forgot about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. By the way, the way it was shot too, just like that last kind of
sitting
in the chair, and the way Ira came up to her and he's bleeding out his nose and he looks and says Susan, and it was just so. So sad, and just from the point of, that was his mother. You know, that was who took care of him, and so.
Mother lover.
But mother love. That's what I meant. Like, come on, he's got mommy issues. So like, he was fucking her, and
he's Oedipus. He's gonna like stab his eyes out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Not his mother, but I mean, it was just very. The way that was happening as Cosima is kind of venturing out in the water with the boat and the way it was shot, it was just beautifully shot.
Yeah. It was kind of, I didn't want her to die, but I'm glad they died together in a way.
We think he died.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah.
I don't know. Are we supposed to know if Ira died, Josh, or no?
I think at this point it's ambiguous. I mean, yeah, I can't glitchy. Really say anything.
He was glitching the whole episode.
Yeah, without spoiling it, without spoiling it, right?
But it's, yeah, it's definitely a sad moment, and that's what it's meant to be. Mm. It's meant to tie up that end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So whether there's a bit after that, I can't quite say.
Yeah,
but what I can say is that that moment was meant to land the way that it did.
Well, I know,
and it was, you know, it was heartbreaking.
Well,
and just disturbing at the same time that they weren't able to kind of figure out what was happening.
Well, and we still don't, you know, Ira asked Virginia Cody in that, like, I love her. She's like a scientist. She's like smoking a cigarette outside. Like, yeah, so what? And she throws it down. Anyway, but when she goes in there, he asks her, are there any more? And she never answers that. So we still don't know how many casters are out there.
Yeah. So there might be a bad guy that pops up.
Yep, so I still might see my hottie back in action.
Hey, we see a lot of, if we keep getting new different versions of Tatiana Maslany, then right.
You know,
right?
So it ends on a bittersweet note because of Susan and Ira, but Cosima gets away.
We think so. Hopefully. I think so, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Yeah. She has
thank
to.
You, yeah. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, man. All around real fun episode. But yeah, let's get back to you, Josh.
Yeah, do anybody have any questions in the
chat?
We can ask. Hey, guys, you guys are in the chat, so if you have any questions, please. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I've been scanning, but I haven't really seen anything yet.
Is there going to be more Scott and Bree, by the way?
Oh, wait, actually, hold on for a second.
Well, I'm not sure. I can't answer definitely. It's a possibility, but...
So there were extra stuff.
Yeah, there is more stuff. I don't know whether it's going to be there.
In it or not, okay.
It's just, you know, we've got a jam-packed season.
Yeah,
they really
threw
everything into it, and it couldn't be more jam-packed.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of it. I think these last four episodes are... everybody's been talking about the season so far, saying like, we really love it. It's really great. This is like an amazing season. And believe it or not, we're actually at, just the first leg that we all thought was pretty good. Like the real insane, amazing stuff is coming in the next four episodes.
Wow. Man.
Like coming, like it's gonna be nuts.
Like a freight train, nice.
Like a lot of deaths. Yeah.
The next four episodes, like we got to the sixth episode, so we took a little breather with this season, but get ready for the last four because it's gonna be all out.
Nice.
Now I hate to interrupt you, Josh, but someone has a very important question on the chat. Yeah. I feel like CNN right now, and they asked, Josh, will your diabetic cat make a comeback this season?
Denise the cat. Well, I can speak to it at least that the reason why Denise the cat hasn't been in more of our episodes is that Tat is deathly allergic to anything with fur.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Yeah.
That's a good question and a great answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah, so that's why there are no so when we filmed all those scenes with the cat, like it really worked and it was great. And we had a lot of fun with it. And Ari and I had a lot of fun shooting it. But I had to shoot scenes with Tat later that day. So
And
I'm a huge animal person. I could not touch the cat. I could not go near the cat.
Sure.
I had to wash my hands and
yep.
change all mm-hmm. my clothes and everything.
Dang.
Because she's extremely allergic and you can't have, you know, you can't have your actor that's doing half the scenes of the show with like big puffy eyes.
Yeah. You said that you wanted to do more like comedy stuff, even though you started doing theater. What do you have any background doing comedy, or did you just want to start doing it?
I just kind of started doing it, and Toronto is a big mecca for comedy. Toronto and Chicago, and New York,
Second City,
have Second City, and a lot of people, you know, from SNL and stuff like that, like. Samantha Bee comes from here.
Oh, nice.
Who's got a show on right now. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of Canadians from this area that are really, really funny. And we've got a really big sketch and comedy circuit. And a lot of the big people in the scene, the local scene here in Toronto, were all really good friends of mine. And we all just went to school together as actors. And I think that's been a huge influence for me because they went more the comedy route and they all make sketches and are comedians now in the city of some note. And I kind of wanted to do the acting but wanted to have comedy as well. And so I just kind of went that way.
Cool. So you're like,
and, yeah.
So you're on a serious show, but still is, or you're kind of funny. You bring the funny sometimes. Cool. Yeah. It's like best of both worlds, I'd say.
I like to walk the line. Like, I was never like, I'm not going to stand up and grab a mic and be a comedian.
Yeah.
But I want to,
it's pretty
like,
fun.
You know, I always really love comedians. Like I really love Sacha Baron Cohen and what he does.
Yep.
He's a genius.
Like the character, like the character comedy stuff. And I really loved Kaufman, Andy Kaufman. And I really loved Peter Sellers.
Yeah, I was going to say Peter Sellers. And, yeah, that was the first one that came to mind.
Yeah. So that kind of comedy for me is my favorite, where you just adopt a character and just drive it right into the ground wherever it goes.
So are you going to plan on being like a, like doing a Sacha Baron Cohen type thing and playing a character in a movie or a show anytime soon?
I think I could. I think it's something that's always really scared the crap out of me, but I think that that's kind of where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because any time I've ever had gotten any real praise as an actor, it's always when, because I'm a pretty quiet, level-headed dude,
yeah,
I think on the whole. But whenever I do these really outlandish, out there characters that are really crass or really awkward or just really in one direction or another, that are just kind of, you know, caricatures almost of human beings, it's when I've had the most success. So I guess, yeah, and I guess the next thing I'll do will be something like that because that seems to work for me.
Cool. So with Orphan Black ending, can we see you in anything coming up? Or are you planning on any new projects?
I'm not in anything at the moment. I'm getting married, so I've taken a
congratulations. Congratulations.
Nice.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so I'm getting married in 2 weeks now. I'm getting married on the 29th, and then I'm going traveling for a month. And right now I've been taking a break and just taking appointments or like auditions for movies and shows. So I don't have anything written on paper yet, but I'll either be in nothing or I'll be in some blockbuster next year.
Yeah, I think you'll be in something.
Yeah,
I don't find it to be a problem.
You're
too
talented of an actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, really, because, you know, I'm a comedic actor as well. And I think a lot of people, you know, there's to make, especially kind of, it's not slapstick, but some of the physical comedy that you do, I think it's hard to do, and it's hard to do to make good physical comedy that's believable.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people try to do it, and it looks, you know, sticky.
They're trying to do the joke.
And it seems one-note. Exactly. They're trying to do the joke where you're trying to, you're really just playing the scene and the motivation through your physicality.
Yeah.
And as an actor, I love watching you. It's inspiring to watch you because it's good. It's just, it's very believable. And like you're telling us all your process. And
your process is great.
And
I love
it. See that. We see that in that. So it's just, yeah. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, the other thing I left out too is John Ritter and Robin Williams were also really big inspirations for me.
Oh, they're great. Sam, who's not here, she's another host on the show. She is very much thinking, or she used to think that Scott was evil, like he's a bad guy. Can you say, is he ever going to, is he playing for the clone team?
Or? I think it's safe to say now that he's chosen his side.
Okay.
That's great.
That was something that people talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And it was something that we played with in the third season. So Scott and Rachel, their relationship.
Yes.
Is very, it's the only time you really see him. You can see like a glint of malice in his eyes, or you can see that he's being manipulative or two-faced.
Okay.
I mean, it's something I would have liked to have done maybe a little more at that time, but there's just not enough time to do it. Like, we've got so much to do.
Yeah.
And filming the show. I mean, I'd like to do more of it, but, you know, I'm happy that I had that opportunity to do that much. I think that it's safe to say that he's very much on
the good side.
The Sistras and the Brother Sistras.
The Sistras, team. Sistras.
And, But I mean, me, it's funny because me as an actor, you know, I've become known for playing this guy that's just kind of the sweetest, most naive dude in the world. But really, most of the auditions and most of the things that I go out for are playing like, you know, a drug dealer or like, you know, like messed up alcoholic.
Love it.
Putting his life back together.
Love it.
I thought you were going to say, I play a nice guy, but really, I'm kind of an asshole.
You just described all my ex-boyfriends to me, so yeah.
Do you guys have any other questions for Josh?
No, just thanks so much for like letting us like talk to you and pick your brain and hear about your experience and everything.
No problem. It's really great talking with you guys.
Yeah, you were awesome. Thanks so much. Do you guys want to go into predictions real quick?
Sure. I don't know if you'll be able to say any predictions, but...
But you can say if we're right or not.
Yeah.
I predict that in 4 episodes, it will be done.
All right. And my prediction is I'm going to get to interview Ari and scream a lot on mic. That's what I'm going to predict. No.
What about you?
And he would be fine with that. Get in touch with his agent or whoever books things for Ari. He would absolutely do the show.
Josh, you act like I know people's people. Anyway, Rick, what's your prediction?
Yeah. Now, my prediction is I think Westmoreland makes it to the end.
You think?
And then we see his demise. The Wizard of Oz, his demise will happen at the finale.
I think mine is just Cosima gets away.
Yeah, that's mine too. That's mine too.
Until next time. Wait, before we go, thanks so much, Josh. You were so great, and
thank you so much for talking.
Yeah, can people find you anywhere on the social medias or anything like that?
Oh, right, on the social medias. Yes, I have those. you can find me on Twitter at Josh Vokey, because there's only one dude with that name in the world, I think. Actually, there's another guy, I think, in Canada that has my name. Sucks for him.
There's actually a stand-up comedian in L.A. named Brian Vokey.
Really?
That I'm friends with, because I do stand-up. Yeah, with a Y, in case you're wondering. B-R-Y-A-N. Vokey.
Whoa.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, tell him I say hi, because we're actually a pretty small clan of people. So he's from, like, Boston or Canada, then... Well, he will be eventually from like Boston or somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
In Canada, we are eventually related.
Oh, that's funny. I'll ask him and see where exactly he's from.
Yeah, see where exactly he is.
So at Josh Vokey on Twitter or again at Josh Vokey on Instagram.
Great.
Awesome. And how about you guys? Where can we find you guys on the.
Well, you know what? You can find me on all social media, and I'm the only Rick Hong that matters. RICKHONG.
You are the only one that matters. And there's a lot of Matt Mars and all of them matter because I'm, Anyway, I'm Matt Mar, everybody. You can find me on mattmar.tv. You can find my other 2 podcasts there, or you can find me at TheMattMar on all of my social stuff.
Yeah, and I'm Kelly McInerney. Actually, Kelly McInerney on Twitter was taken, so that's why you can find me on Holly Weirdo on Twitter.
That's a good
Instagram.
One, too. I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
like it.
And I have a podcast. KellyMcInerney.net, all that stuff. Thanks again, Josh. You're
Thank
awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
much success
Thanks
to you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Taking the time out to talk to us. We look forward to the rest of the episode.
Have a great wedding.
Yeah. Have a great wedding.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Until next time, guys.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Clone you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.